Folks, it's summer.
Yes, it is.
It's just barely summer.
The last bit of summer.
Just at the end of summer. And of course, this is the time of year when everyone is naming their list of the best beach reads. And usually, you know, it's like thrillers and romance novels and stuff you buy at the airport shop before you jump on a flight. But you know what never does make the list? Economics books.
I know. I mean, for some reason, there is this idea that you cannot take an economics book to the beach. Like, you have to read an economics book inside, sitting in a chair, you know, probably in business casual attire.
Yeah, like you're not allowed to be comfortable while you're absorbing this delightful
economic
stuff.
Right, you don't want to relax. You can't relax. This is economics.
Yeah, these books are often very dense, not super readable, but there are exceptions.
Yes, there are. There are economics books that are excellent beach companions.
And here at The Indicator, we are on a mission to prove that you can take econ to the beach.
All this week, Cardiff and I will be profiling economic beach reads, books that are really fun and really readable and interesting and that you can 100% take to the beach. Today, The Indicator goes to the beach with economist Tim Harford to talk with him about his book, 50 Inventions That Shaped the Modern Economy.
Leave your business cash attire at home because you're not going to need it.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from iDevices, whose Wi-Fi-enabled smart home products feature voice control through Alexa, Siri, or the Google Assistant. Control iDevices' smart switches and outlets from anywhere with your iOS or Android device. Visit iDevicesInc.com and use discount code NPR at checkout. Support also comes from State Street Global Advisors. Download Crazy Enough to Work, a podcast series with Elizabeth Banks about the bold moves mid-cap companies make to thrive and survive. Provided by State Street Global Advisors Funds Distributors, LLC.
Joining us at the beach today, Tim Harford, author of 50 Inventions That Shaped the Modern Economy. Tim, thank you for joining us. And Tim, obviously your book is about 50 inventions that shaped the modern economy, but we asked you to pick one that was your favorite of the inventions that shaped the modern economy. So what did you pick?
Well, when I was working on the book, everybody said, oh, in your list of 50, you must include the Gutenberg printing press. You must include the Gutenberg printing press. It changed the world in so many ways, some good, some bad. Absolutely profound. But when you look at the Gutenberg Bible, there is something you'd notice, which is that it is printed on something. And most Gutenberg Bibles are printed on a surface you may have heard of. It's called paper. And paper gets no love. Paper gets no attention. Paper's really, really important. It's important for the Gutenberg press, and it's important in other ways as well. But the basic idea is paper is a cheap writing surface, and there is no point in creating a way to mass produce writing unless you also have a way to mass produce a writing surface. I mean, you can print on parchment, which is made of animal skin. Gutenberg
did.
Right.
I mean, that's what it used to be, right? It used to be like basically a whole bunch of monks lined up like writing
beautiful
and it's like script
organic,
on animal skins.
Artisanal. They're like the hipsters, right? You know, this kind of like this handcrafted.
That is happening in Williamsburg
natural,
right now.
Yeah, it's a natural process, and it's all and of course, while it's just Bibles, that's kind of what you want. Who wants a mass-produced Bible? Because a Bible is a special holy object. If
yes.
I come to you and I say, hey, I've got a really cheap way of making Bibles, it's like, say, I've got a really cheap way of making crowns for the king. No one's interested.
Right.
But paper starts to be embraced in Europe. It was invented in China 2,000 years ago and then moved to the Arab world well over 1,000 years ago. But Europeans were not interested. But it was gradually embraced by the Italian merchant class. They wanted paper for contracts, for bookkeeping, for receipts, just everyday, writing each other letters, everyday stuff. And gradually, as paper spreads throughout Europe, it reaches Germany, or what is now Germany, in the late 1300s. And about 60 years later, Johannes Gutenberg develops the printing press. And there is absolutely no point in this invention if all you have is parchment. Because the print run, say you want to make one Bible, that's 250 sheep you're going to have to kill for their skin.
Really?
Yeah. So 4,000 Bibles, which is like a typical print run. If you want to, I mean, it's not a huge print run, but that'll do 4,000 Bibles. That's a million sheep.
That is biblical. You can't do it. That is biblical.
And so there are lots of other ways in which paper is important. We decorate our walls with it, with photos, posters, wallpaper. We have receipts. We make cardboard boxes out of paper. That's incredibly important. I mean, it is absolutely everywhere. But the reason I wanted to write a chapter about paper is because it stands for all the humble, overlooked, underrated inventions in the economy. So many of the inventions that really matter change the world because they're really simple and cheap. And somebody figures out a way to do something you could do anyway, but just cheaper. And that's really important. It doesn't get a lot of praise, doesn't get a lot of attention, but that's how you change the world.
So it just sounds like once you move from animal skins to sort of a tree-based product, you can just make it more easily. You can make more of it. It's less onerous.
And it actually wasn't made of trees originally. That came much later. It was made of cotton rags. It was, in fact, a really early industrial process in Europe. So the process involved taking soiled cotton rags and macerating them in a bath of human urine. So it's this stinking, reeking industrial process. And from time to time, there was a shortage of cotton rags. And so people would be doing things like raiding battlefields and stripping the cotton garments off the bodies of the dead. Much later, a French guy, a biologist called de Réaumur, Antoine de Réaumur, if I remember rightly, notices, hey, you know what? Wasps make paper. They make their nests out of paper.
Oh, right.
And they make it out of wood. So maybe we could make it out of wood.
So basically, it becomes a less time and blood intensive process. And what does that mean? Why is that so transformative?
Well, once it becomes incredibly cheap, it becomes this disposable product. I mean, it takes a while before it's completely disposable, but the cheaper it is, the more things you can do with paper, the more uses you have for paper. So instead of just making Bibles out of paper and only a few Bibles and they're kept in very special places, you can start doing things like making pamphlets and demanding revolutions. So this is something that happens in Europe. Newspapers. The idea you're going to print a newspaper every single day and distribute it and then throw it away at the end of the day, or maybe wrap up your fish and chips in it, as we do in the UK. So it's this process of bringing the cost down and down and down, and then you have more and more and more things it becomes worth doing with paper.
It's like
that gives you the spread of literacy, the spread of ideas, the spread of words. We're seeing this right now with something like solar. So the cost of solar power is coming down and down and down. And there's no moment where you say, well, now everything's changed. It's just this gradual process of it becoming more and more and more useful in more and more places in the economy. And we've seen that again and again over economic history.
And then I wanted to ask you, is paper still as important now, do you think, as it was then? It seems like we're moving away from paper.
Well, I looked at all these previous forecasts of the decline of paper and the paperless office. And after a while, it did become a punchline. Everyone was just joking about the paperless office, and we were more and more and more paper because it just became cheaper and cheaper to produce documents. You have a laser printer, so suddenly you're printing multiple copies of everything. We did actually hit peak paper a few years ago. I think it was 2013, maybe 2015.
That was peak paper?
Peak paper, but it wasn't very long ago. There has been the shift. Obviously, there's been a shift away from newspapers and towards digital consumption of media. People are now more and more using emails instead of faxes. Screens are getting better and better. You see people giving presentations looking at an iPad rather than looking at a page of physical notes. So that this shift is very gradually starting to happen. But one of the other lessons that you learn is that old technologies very rarely become completely obsolete. They still sit around. So, you know, we still use pencils. It's a very old technology. We have these old technologies and we have the new technologies, and they sit alongside each other, and they very rarely go completely extinct.
Tim Harford is the author of 50 Inventions That Shaped the Modern Economy. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. See you next time.
Bye.